Leviticus chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Leviticus 14, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off. And he shall wash his clothes also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor, and cannot get so much, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering." And then verses 23 to 31 repeat the same thing of the offering, but with the different animals, with the doves instead of with the other animals. And then verse 32 finishes the portion, "This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing." Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would bless the meditation of this portion to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our topic tonight is biblical ritual. When we hear the word ritual, sometimes we think of churches that no longer believe much of anything and still continue with outward forms. And so we have the term that many times we use of dead ritual. And it's true that ritual can become a very dead thing. Churches go on with their ritual even long beyond the time when it has any meaning for them. However, we also have the danger before us of throwing out the baby with the bathwater in then deciding that since there are churches that have dead ritual, meaningless things that they continue doing, that ritual therefore is bad, which is not true, because there is biblical ritual. Dead ritual is meant to give false security to those that are exercised in its performance, but there is biblical ritual that is meant to give joy to those who are aware of its deep significance. And so we must not forget that there is legitimate biblical ritual. And here in this portion of Scripture, we'd like to notice three things regarding biblical ritual. The first thing I think we can say regarding biblical ritual, and especially having read this chapter 14 and our previous chapters that we have read in the book of Leviticus, that biblical ritual in the first place has great detail. We find lengthy explanations, long chapters of great detail. And here regarding the leper, for example, the great detail that is gone into as to the things that need to be done for the official cleansing, pronouncing clean of the leper. And it would be difficult for us, even just having read it, to remember all of the little details there of the two live birds and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and the running water and the killing of the one bird and his blood mixing with the water and the dipping of the other bird and all of the detail regarding this ritual of the pronouncement of this leper's having been cleansed by God from his leprosy. And so there is great detail. In fact, I sometimes wonder, as you remember in Matthew chapter 8, when the leper came and running to the Lord Jesus and fell down before him and worshipped him, said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, said, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." And I often wonder, as this man who had been cleansed from his leprosy then went to the priest and said, "I've been cleansed from my leprosy, I'd like to offer the appropriate sacrifices that Moses commands in the law." I wonder if that priest had to quick run back into his room and look for a copy of the law and read it through and say, "I haven't done this for a long time." It's detailed. It isn't something that you would just remember if you weren't doing it regularly. And so there are lengthy explanations and long chapters, and there are also detailed overlappings and repetitions. And you'll notice that this evening, the repetition here, first of all, they give the entire ceremony that is to be performed, and then they say that Moses says, if he's poor and he can't bring a lamb and these other expensive offerings, then let him bring the turtle doves, these less expensive offerings. And then instead of just saying, and then let them do the same thing, they go through it all over again and explain all the detail of each one of those sacrifices and how it is to be handled and what is to be done. And so there are not only lengthy explanations, but then there are detailed overlappings and repetitions. And we wonder, well, why can't they just shorten it a little bit? Well, I think we have to realize that there are some things in life that bear repeating just because of their extreme importance. For example, perhaps you heard of the man who, after hearing that Scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives," and the preacher said, "Now, men, be sure that you tell your wives that you love them. Tell her you love her." And one man's response was, I told her that I loved her when we got married, and I've never retracted the statement, so she knows it's still true. Well, now that might be the case, but it doesn't hurt to repeat it. After all, there are some things that bear repeating because of their extreme importance. And repetitions of biblical ritual indicate their great significance. And so we find here that, first of all, as we look at biblical ritual, there is great detail. But the second thing we'd like to note is that the reason for that great detail is because of its great significance. There is great significance to this ritual, and that's why it bears repeating. That's why it merits all of this detail, because it is extremely significant. There is, first of all, extreme doctrinal significance in this ritual. We have here the shedding of blood. Now, this did not cleanse the leper, for he was already clean. He was already cleansed of his leprosy. But the shedding of the blood here symbolized the cleansing from sin, of which leprosy was such a vivid reminder. And the blood that was mixed with the water, with that clean water, and then sprinkled seven times, the sprinkling of the blood of the bird upon that leper was indicative also a type and a symbol of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. In fact, that's specifically what is told us in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 2, Peter, writing to those believers there in Pontus and Galatia, says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." And so we find here a reference to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The picture then given by the sprinkling of the blood of this bird that was killed, sprinkled upon the leper, then symbolizing the cleansing also from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the live bird was let go free, symbolizing the new life that comes as we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God indwells us. There is a newness of life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so there's newness of life, the shaving off of all the hair, total openness before God, nothing covered before Him. You can't come to God with things covered over in your life. All things are open with Him to whom we have to do. There is the washing, the total cleanness, and then repeated after 7 days to make sure that there was no new infection. The cleanness, referring to the cleanness of heart as we are accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. And all of these things then were only to bring him into fellowship with his family and friends. After all of this, he could come into the town and there once again be with his family. And then after that, there was additional ritual for coming into fellowship with God. And we read there that these animals were killed for a sin offering, for atonement, and the blood of that animal then placed upon his right ear and his right thumb and his right toe. It's interesting that that same procedure was used for the sanctifying of the high priest. The priest had the blood placed also upon his right ear and right thumb and right toe. And I wonder if, as the leper went through that ritual and saw the blood applied in that way, if it didn't speak to his heart as saying, I am just as fully accepted before God now as the high priest himself, because God has used the same ritual with me as with him. And so there was a sense of total acceptance through the significance of the blood and then the significance of the oil. Notice that the oil was placed on top of the blood, on the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe. The oil on top of the blood, speaking, referring the oil, referring to the Spirit of God, the blood, the death of Christ. And so after the cleansing from the death of Christ, there is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so there is the of blood and water for cleansing, and there is the applying of the oil, then also the filling of the Spirit of God. And these pictures are brought out in other places in Scripture. For example, in John 19:34, we read that the soldier pierced the side of Jesus and there came out blood and water. We read in 1 John 5:6, this is he that came by water and by blood. And so the mixture of blood and water, the sealing then of the Spirit of God, the pouring out of the residue of the oil on the head of the person, the anointing of the Spirit of God, all of these things have doctrinal significance. And the great significance then of this ritual is seen in the great detail that with which it is expressed. Now, not only was there doctrinal significance, but there was also personal significance. Now, perhaps if, say, tomorrow morning you were to get up to, and before going to work, you were to have your devotional time, you take your Bible and you open up the Bible, and you find that for that particular morning, Leviticus 14 is your portion, and you begin reading, and you say, now this is the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And you begin to think, you know, why all of this detail? And then you read some more, and you say, no, they're just repeating it all over again. You know, why all of this? Why so detailed all of this? Well, do you know why you might perhaps consider it to be a bit of a drag to read through all of this detail? Is perhaps because you have never been a leper. You see, if you were a leper, and then God in His mercy cleansed you, and you found that now you could go back into the camp and be with the people and go back to your family and your friends and go back to the house of God, and all you had to do was just go through the ritual that God prescribed, you would pull out your scroll or whatever you had and just read it with rejoicing. You say, then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. You see, the reason you don't appreciate this is because you haven't been a leper. This has great personal significance. You know, if for years you had to stand by the roadside and call out and beg for a crumb of bread, if for years you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that people would not draw near to you because they would then be contaminated, then I think you would long for the day when a bird would be killed and the blood would be caught, you would be sprinkled and you could go into the town and the blood would be placed on your ear and your thumb and your foot and the oil placed on top of that. You would have that ritual memorized, and it would be the most precious portion of Scripture in the Word of God, and every detail would be to you an exciting memory of a new life that you never expected to live. And so this would become perhaps one of the most precious portions of the Word of God for you, and you wouldn't mind the detail at all, and you wouldn't mind the repetition. And in fact, if you were a poor leper, you would have the consolation that God even repeated all the instructions just for you. You wouldn't think, well, I'm just a ditto of the rich man. You know, he gave all the instructions in detail for the rich man. For the poor man, he just says, just do it with different animals, but do it ditto. He says, no, God gave me all my own personal, complete, and thorough instructions because he wanted me to realize how special I am to him. And so the great detail here is because of the great significance. And we can recognize that. My son just went to a wedding yesterday, and he came back saying, you haven't seen a wedding like that wedding. He said, that's the kind of a wedding that makes all the fathers present figure out how they can get a ladder and give their future son-in-law a ladder and $15 for gas and tell him to elope. You can't imagine how much that must have cost. And so you say, well, now, why do we go through all of that ritual? Do you know a couple can just go down to the Justice of Peace and for a couple of dollars and a couple of minutes you can get married? Now, why don't they do it that way? Why do they go through months of planning, of endless details? You stand here and I'll stand there and you step forward here and you back up here and then I'll do this and I'll light that candle. And then, you know, now, why do they do that? why all this expense and why all these decorations and special clothing and refreshments and costly pictures? It's because it is an occasion of great personal significance. The occasion merits the expense and the effort. And so also here the leper says, the occasion merits all of the expense and all of the effort that might be involved, and all of this ritual just brought to him unbelievable delight. Now, the third thing, in this ritual we see great detail. This great detail shows us that there is great significance. And the third thing I'd like to have us see here is that out of this we obtain great instruction. The detail of the ritual is important because of its great significance, and this has great instruction for us. Now today we don't have that much ritual. We have baptism. God has given to us in the New Testament the ordinance of baptism. Some would ignore this ordinance and say, well, now why do you want to bother with that? After all, I believe in spirit baptism. Well, I do too. The scriptures tell us very clearly that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We are all in the body of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is very distinct from the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep those things separate. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit does not have all kinds of signs and wonders like some people try to tell us today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's Holy Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. That's spiritual baptism. And I believe that. But that doesn't mean we have to throw away water baptism, because that is also taught in Scripture. And so in Scripture we have believe and be baptized. It's something that God has commanded us to do. We can't be baptized the spiritual baptism. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. But the command is for us to be baptized. Now some would not totally ignore this blessed ritual that God has given to us. Some, instead of ignoring it, would just simplify it. And some would say, well, you know, it's such a bother to be immersed, and it's just so much more convenient just to sprinkle a little water, and after all, it's the thought that counts. But after all, didn't God give to us his ritual the way he wanted it done? And so God has said we are buried with him by baptism into death. You know, there was a little boy that had a dog, and his dog died. And as his father went to work that day, he said, now, son, it's quite a warm day, and so that dog shouldn't stay out there all day. While I'm gone today, I want you to bury him. And so that night, the father came home, and he looked in the backyard, and here was that dog. He said, son, I thought I told you to bury that dog. And he says, well, Dad, I did. I sprinkled a whole handful of dirt over him. He says, son, that's not burying him. And you might have somebody sprinkle a whole handful of water over you, but that's not burying you. And the Word of God says we are buried with him by baptism into death in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Knowing this, or rather, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we see that baptism is a picture of our death to sin and our resurrection to newness of life in Jesus Christ. And so if you have died to sin with Jesus Christ, if you have risen to newness of life with Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, then going under that water of baptism for you is not a bothersome ritual. The occasion merits all of the inconvenience that there might seem to be. The occasion merits it. It is exciting, personal significance that we see in this ritual that God has given. And there's in the New Testament also, we have the prodigal son. You remember that he ran off and spent all his money and his inheritance. And then he came back, and as his father saw him coming, he ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And he said, "Now, kill the fatted calf." The father was saying the occasion merits this kind of celebration. He said, "My son was dead and now he's alive." And so also, we will fill this baptistry. Anytime there's anybody that wants to publicly testify that they have died with Jesus Christ and they have risen again to newness of life in Jesus Christ, we'll fill that baptistry. You say, "But all that water and all that trouble?" And brother, the occasion merits it. That's no problem. It merits that occasion. And so we're glad to do that. And it's a joy to do it. And those who would complain sound like those who have never been lepers, or rather sound like those who have never really sensed what it is to be forgiven. You know, once you really have the joy of forgiveness, nothing is hard after that. I know for many years I went around just wondering, how can I know that God has forgiven me? How can I know my sins are forgiven? And you know, the day came when I saw Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross, crucified for me, and that as I would repent of my sin and trust Him as my Savior, I would have forgiveness of sins and newness of life. And as I cried out to Him to forgive me and to save me, you know, after that, it wasn't hard to be baptized. You say, "Well, all that inconvenience that you had to go to and take special clothing and go under the water, that was no problem. That was a thrill. That was a joy. That was blessing." And so those who have problems with that talk like somebody who's never been forgiven. Because if you've been forgiven, then you say the occasion merits all of this glorious ritual. Our brother who was dead is now alive, and so fill the tank and press the robe because the occasion merits it. You know, gratitude doesn't know the meaning of the word inconvenience, and we're grateful to God for His marvelous salvation. And then we also have the ritual of communion. Communion is also an ordinance, a New Testament ritual that God has given to us. We only have two rituals in the New Testament, two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We prefer not to call them sacraments because sacraments has taken on the idea of inherent value, which is not true. It implies merit in the minds of some, and that's not so. We call them ordinances because they are things that God has ordained, He has commanded. And we testify that there is no inherent value. But the value is the joy of obedience to God in fulfilling that which He has commanded. And so we call them ordinances because they do not have merit in themselves. And there are only two. There are not seven, as some would tell us. There are only two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And they are very simple. But the details that God has given to us are very important details. In the Lord's Supper, for example, the bread should not have leaven, because in the Scriptures, leaven speaks of corruption. And at the time of the Passover, you remember that the Jews were not to have any leaven in their homes. And Christ, our Passover, Paul says, was sacrificed for us, and He was sacrificed without sin. And so the bread must be without leaven. The cup also must be without corruption, without any kind of fermentation. And so we drink the juice of the grape unfermented. And these details then are of doctrinal significance, and they must not be considered as matters of indifference. And so when you see in the New Testament these detailed descriptions of the ordinances that God has given to us. You have to remember that these details are important, and so we must observe them as He has given them to us. We don't have near the detail of the Old Testament. Think if you had to go through all that detail. That's why Paul said that it was a very detailed and complete description of all of these matters, and we have been given a very simplified, and so we ought not then to do away with the details of that which God has given to us. And so tonight, I guess we just want to ask, have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and has the Spirit of God come into your heart? If so, then you need to be baptized. You need to be buried with Him by baptism into death. Now, is that asking too much? Is that asking too much that you be baptized as public testimony of the fact that God has saved you by His grace? And then the next is that you should partake of His table. And surely these two ordinances are not too much. Certainly, we ought not to despise these two simple things that He has commanded us to do. And so we with joy fulfill these things in all of the detail that He's given to us, because we say, certainly, the detail that He's given is because of the significance that it has. And because of its significance, it certainly merits our fullest obedience. Our Father, we thank You for the joy of being able to publicly testify to Your goodness and Your greatness. Publicly testify to the fact that as we, through repentance and faith, die to our sin and our self and are raised again to newness of life, that we are enabled then to testify of this, and we thank You for this, and for the table of the Lord, wherein we testify that we live by Jesus Christ, as He indwells us and fills us, and we feed on the living Word by means of the written Word. We testify to these things by means of these two ordinances that You've given to us. And so we thank You for this, and we pray that You would enable us to fulfill them in all of their glory and with hearts of joy because of Your goodness. We praise You for the marvelous salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, having sought for years to do enough or to be enough to merit Your favor, and failing totally. We thank You, Father, for the day that we discovered that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to Your mercy that You save us. And so we praise You for this. Thank You for so great a salvation and for the glorious symbolism that You've given to express publicly that work that You have done. In Jesus' name, amen.